Hello, and welcome to the Equitopia podcast from the horse's mouth. My name is Caroline Hegarty, founder of Equitopia. And so we continue our series of meeting different professionals in the equine industry and getting their perspectives on equine care. In this episode, we hear from Dr. Lena Clifford from Animal Biomechanical Solutions in Australia. Dr. Clifford works with rehab and lameness issues on an everyday basis and also travels around the world with her husband, Daryl, to deliver their two-year postgraduate diploma course in equine orthopedic balance. Lena trained as a veterinarian in Germany, where she also completed a PhD in veterinary science, but she gave up on conventional medicine in 2011 to specialize in traditional veterinary Chinese medicine, or TCVM. She has also added veterinary chiropractic, neurological release techniques, and osteopathic skills to her field of expertise. My first question for Lena was how she got interested in horses and how she decided to become a vet.
I first got involved with horses through my grandfather. He had two little Shetland ponies, and as toddlers, me and my sister, we got led off these ponies. And then from there, we wanted to do a little bit more and started to ride at a riding school because my grandfather sold the ponies when I was about four. And the horse bug already had caught me then, so I started riding at a riding school. And that was the start of my horsey career, basically. From here, it didn't take much for me. I always wanted to become a vet. Even when I was very young, I was 7, 8 years old, I kept telling my parents and my grandparents that I wanted to become a vet. And it never really changed. Everybody kept trying to talk me out of it, and nobody succeeded. I loved animals all my life, and here I am, fulfilled my dream, becoming a vet.
If you have listened to other episodes of our podcast, you may have noticed that everyone so far has talked about their relationship with horses taking root when they were toddlers or very young children. I find that this is the case with a lot of equestrians I meet in my day-to-day life too. I meet so many people who live and breathe all things related to horses, and I'm beginning to understand that this is, of course, the obvious outcome of a passion that has endured and strengthened since early childhood. This is also true in my own case, and I feel so blessed to have discovered something at such a young age that has given such meaning and purpose to my life. Back to Lena. So she trained as a veterinarian in Germany, where she also completed a PhD in veterinary science, but gave up conventional medicine in 2011 to specialize in traditional veterinary Chinese medicine, or TCVM, and other techniques. I asked her to explain how and why this came about and how it has changed her work.
When I started studying vet science, I was fascinated by all the knowledge that we got given through the uni. But I always felt that there was something missing and it wasn't really enough for me. And when I started working as a young vet, I got frustrated really quickly because there's so many animals coming into the practice, whether it's horses or dogs, cattle. I was working in a mixed practice at the beginning where you just really don't have any answers, or the answers you have don't give you any options, or not many options to treat. And I was really quite frustrated about that. Also, one of my parents' dogs got quite sick and no vet had an answer for that one. So that got me to look outside the box, basically, and have a bit of a look around what else there is and what options we've got. And I started to look into the traditional Chinese medicine, and specifically acupuncture to start with. And I was absolutely blown away what you could do, what you could achieve, what was possible with that medicine. It was absolutely mind-blowing. And everything went from there. So with the acupuncture, the Chinese medicine, it was just, yeah, amazing. And then that's basically got me to where I am now, doing the Chinese, or you know, having the Chinese medicine, the chiropractics, the osteopathy, homeopathics, all these sort of things, neurological release techniques, and all that to complement our normal veterinary medicine that all the other vets offer, and to help, yeah, just really improve horses' lives.
The way Lena challenged the accepted ways of doing things resonates a lot with me and reminds me of something the well-known trainer and author John Lyons has said to me. As horse people, we should always strive to find a better way of doing things. Keep searching, keep looking. Even if you have a method that works, there's still a better way. Sometimes it's easier to just go along with accepted ways of doing things, and it requires a certain amount of bravery to challenge the status quo. So I asked Lena if she experienced negative consequences for her decision to move to alternative methods and if she still gets criticism from more mainstream professionals.
Being a vet, working exclusively with the alternatives is a bit of a challenge a lot of the times. A lot of vets sort of smile down on you or look down onto you and go, oh, you know, you're not a real vet, and it's voodoo stuff or all these weird things, it doesn't work, it's, you know, hocus pocus, all these sort of things you hear. And it's a bit frustrating sometimes because I think we would get a lot better results for the animals if we could all work together and work as a team, because nobody can really know everything. Everybody knows something different, and if we all work together we would just get so much better results. So that's a bit of a challenge sometimes, but on the upside there are a lot of vets that are starting to change and that really start to look into this and are willing to work with people like myself that have a bit of a different approach. And communication is really the key in this. It's the same with trainers or saddle fitters or all these sort of things where they look at you and go, oh, what do you know about this? You know, they funnily enough say, oh, you're only a vet, or you're not a real vet with what you do, or all these sort of things you get to hear. But I think the results just speak for themselves.
I asked Lena what she considers to be the biggest challenge in the equine world and if she sees any move to overcome this challenge.
The biggest challenge really is the lack of knowledge in the horse community. This involves vets, farriers, horse owners, trainers, saddle fitters, dentists, you name it. It's just there's such a big gap of knowledge, and I'm certainly not saying I know everything. I by far, you know everything. There's no way you can, I think, ever know everything. But it's quite interesting to see that if you try and broaden your horizon and get a lot of information on the new science, newest research, what people are doing, think outside the box a bit, try new approaches, that people don't believe you, they make fun of what you do, they think, you know, oh, we've always been doing it this way, it must work, it's a horse's fault if it's not working. Farriers are quite bad with this because me and my husband, we work a lot with orthopedic balance in horses. It's a really, really big thing to try and change the thinking and the approach in the horse community about the hoof trimming and what can be done and how it should be done and what the rest of the horse perceives when you change its feet. So what's a horse's body? What's the consequences of the horse's body? What do you do? What happens when you change a horse's foot? And why does it happen and how does it happen? All these sort of things are really big in our everyday work, and we get a lot of pushback from vets and farriers, but also horse owners and trainers. Everybody knows it better, and everybody wants really quick results too. So the horse has been lame for 3 years, but you have to fix it in two trims or two treatments or something like that. So that's frustrating at times. There is a big shift in the community though, and it's really nice to see what's going on, and that people start to look outside the box a bit more.
I agree. I think there's a growing number of people looking for more knowledge on how to do things better. I asked Lena to talk a little bit about some of the good things she's seeing in the equine world.
I do think some things are improving for the horses. So things like a lot of people are getting more open to that horses actually have emotional responses to certain things. Horses can have traumas, or horses, separation anxiety, fear in horses, pain in horses, all these sort of things are things that get more and more recognized. And we also try, I think there's a big push to try and make things more ethical, both the riding side of things, but also the training, the feeding, the husbandry, all these sort of things are slowly changing, even though they're still, we've got a long way to go, but there are changes happening. And it's really nice to see when you meet some people that are like-minded, and you see all the horse owners that are, you know, improving their relationship with their horses, and it's quite nice to see your horses that are really bad and are, you know, been meant to put down, that turn the corner, and yeah, it's just lovely. So there are improvements, but we've got a way to go. Vets are starting to think outside the box a little bit more, which is really nice. The farriers still lack a little bit behind, I find, but maybe that's just in Australia, I don't know. But a lot of the vets are slowly starting to change their thinking and open up their minds.
I asked Lena if there's any particular area where she believes big change is needed.
I think one of the biggest areas that needs to change, and that needs a really big change, is the competition world. So I see a lot of changes coming at grassroots level, younger people, or people that just, and I'd say just, not lightly, that are just playing around with their horses and do tricks, and that they seem to change a bit faster. But there's a lot of change still needed in the competition world, dressage, eventing, show jumping, all these sort of things. Say, you know, the debate about bitless riding, that you're not allowed to do that, but some of the contraptions they put on the horses are pretty horrific. The way these horses are trained, so these athletes are trained, needs to change. So I think the whole competition world really needs a big shift, and a big shift in the way it's judged as well, and the way the horses are pushed just beyond their limits.
I was interested to know what Lena's opinion was on what the future holds for horses and equestrians.
That's an interesting question. What does the future hold? I hope it holds more understanding for the equine. Horses have so much to give and have so much to teach. We have a lot to learn from the horses, and I really do hope that we listen more to the horses in the future.
I asked Lena to recommend 3 books that she thinks would be good for equestrians to read.
The first book I would recommend to horse owners is Equine Orthopedic Balance from Daryl John Clifford. That's very, very good. It gives you a lot of information. It's very technical, but I think this is a must read for every horse owner. The next one is Horses Never Lie from Mark Rashid. I really like that one because it opens your mind up to a new way of looking at horses, especially for people who maybe never had that kind of horse training and want to challenge themselves a little bit to open up their thinking. And then another book that I think is beneficial is not a horse book, it's Jane Goodall, and the book My Life with the Chimpanzees, or any book really from her, when she talks about the way she did the research with the chimpanzees, because I think that book opens you up to just look at a different species in a different light.
Lena very much understands the benefits of collaborating with the various professionals that are needed for proper equine care. So I asked her what piece of advice she would give to someone starting out in the industry when they find themselves working with a variety of equine professionals.
I think the best advice I can give to someone who's just starting out as a professional in the horse industry, whether a vet, a farrier, a trainer, I would say keep an open mind. Nothing is impossible. And yeah, I think that's it. Really, keep an open mind.
Finally, I asked Lena for one piece of advice she would give to horse owners.
I think the best advice I can give to a horse owner is listen to your gut. If it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't right for you and your horse. The times I have been hurt, I've got hurt with horses was when I didn't listen to my gut, and especially when I was at riding school and stuff, and I thought, no, I don't think the horse is ready for this. And people keep pushing you and say, you know, yeah, no, you can do this and you'll be fine. And then you get hurt and nothing is fine. And you know your horse. If it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't right. Again, listen to your gut. So I've seen so many horses where the owner said, I knew there was something wrong, but people just kept pushing me and I kept listening to other people. So listen to your own feelings and intuitions around the horses. They usually tell you what's right.
This seems like such a simple piece of advice, but several other professionals I have interviewed have said the exact same thing. In my own experience, I know that over the years, I have often consulted professionals or equestrian friends on various issues with my horses and have sometimes gone along with their advice, even though I felt uneasy about it. So why did I do this? Maybe because of the insecurity in my own knowledge, deference to someone with a specific job title who confidently claims to be right, even though the solution feels wrong to me. So believe me, I do know it's hard to go against the advice of the people we call experts, but the reality very often is that the person who knows the horse best very often holds the key to what's really going on. I now believe that horse owners actually have a duty of care to be the voice for their horse. It's not just about calling in a professional, telling them something is wrong, and blindly following their advice. As horse owners, we really need to keep educating ourselves and embracing our role as an active and equal member of the team that looks after our horse. Our horses deserve proper representation from the people who know them best. And that's my reflection for today. Take a minute and ask yourself, if you really make an effort to get in tune with your horse, do you notice the little changes? Are you able to give thorough information to professionals who come to help you with particular issues? Do you pay attention to your gut instincts? Are you a good advocate for your horse's health and well-being? Something to think about. And that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next month for more from the Horse's Mouth.